Just a reminder that if you are a Facebook person, you can find us on Facebook at As Is Ministries. So you can look us up and leave any comments, encouragement, complaints, whatever it might be. Maybe someday there will be a website, but I'm not sure when that's going to be. Excuse me, but for now that's going to have to be sufficient, I guess. But this is my second attempt at trying to get this done because I've had some computer issues while we were on vacation. I don't know, I guess my computer froze or whatever. I had to go to the Apple store and they did something. And then I did this yesterday and it's still having problems, I guess. Problems finding the microphone. And then when I went to Apple, he figured out what the problem was, but lost the recording. So I'm doing this again. So we just got back from a family vacation. First of all, our daughter got married, and then that next week, last week, we were together as a family, four kids and their spouses, except for our new son-in-law. He had to work. He wasn't able to be there. And eight grandchildren between 3 months and 11 years old. So we had a good time at a great pool where we were. We weren't far from the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So us guys and one of our daughters-in-law went with us to see the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So that was pretty cool. And just spent a lot of time together playing cards and games and talking and deciding what we're going to do next year. And also it was very good. Family is important. Family time is important. And so we take advantage of any time we can get together with any of our kids or grandkids. So it was a great time. But so let's get started with a prayer. Father, we just give you thanks for today. Lord, we don't know what today holds. Only you do. We may have plans, but Lord, let our plans be flexible enough that we can let you in. And that we can just abandon whatever plans we may have to do whatever it is that you need us and want us to do. But Father, as we go to your word, Lord, let us hear the message that you want us to hear. Lord, each person will hear something a little bit different because each person hears from you differently. So, Lord, I just ask you to open our ears, our minds, our hearts, that we can hear from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is July 4th, and for people outside of the United States, it's not a big deal. But in the United States, it is Independence Day. Now, I know that I have some listeners from the UK, and so your take on what happened in 1776 and following may be different than what I was taught in history class and, you know, throughout my life, but for many people, today is just a day off of work with pay, you know, and that's great. They'll take that whenever it happens. But for others, it means a lot, and it means freedom. And there was a report that somebody had put on Facebook. I'm not sure if it was on Fox News or where it was, but anyways. And someone was asking these young adults here in the U.S. about July 4th, you know, what it meant and, you know, when it happened, you know, the first one and all of that. And a lot of them, they didn't have a clue. I mean, it was pathetic, you know, the things that they were having to say about Independence Day in July 4th. So now I'm sure that they just showed the ones that didn't know and that there were probably others. I'm hoping there were others that knew the history of today and all, but it's too bad that, you know, some of these people were in college or maybe college graduates and all, and they really didn't know what July 4th meant to the United States, the Independence Day. So the word independence is rarely found in the Bible. It's not in some versions at all. And I think there was only one version that I found. It was in there two times. And when it was used, it was referring to Israel losing its independence. So I looked in the dictionary, you know, to see what independence means. And it said that it's freedom from the control, influence, support, aid, or the like of others. Now, when I think of independence, that's what I think about, okay, being free. And as a teenager, I remember that I wanted independence from my parents' control, you know, just like most every other teenager. But if we look at the rest of the definition, you know, other than control, it talks about influence, support, and aid. Well, my parents were not the worst influence on me. They weren't the greatest, but they weren't the worst. They had some habits that I knew that I didn't want to be part of my life, and they have not become part of my life. And so I just don't remember, you know, ever saying, you know, I want to be just like my dad. Okay, I mean, my dad had some talents that I wish I had. You know, he did electrical work and, you know, did other things that, excuse me, that sometimes I wish were part of my life, but maybe if I worked at it, there would be. But I don't ever remember my parents showing any affection towards each other or towards me. Now, my father and my sister and my mother and my brother, that was different. You know, my sister was my dad's favorite, and my brother was my mother's favorite, and I was leftover. So my parents didn't really realize that I existed, I think, until I went to Vietnam. But that's another story. But they wanted me to do well. They wanted me to stay out of trouble. They wanted me to work. When I was growing up, my parents had a small 10-unit motel on what was kind of the main highway. And so in the summer, anyways, it was my job to get the rooms ready for another person to rent, you know, make beds and clean toilets and all that stuff. And every other year to paint the motel. So they had work for me. But when you become independent, you don't only escape the control and the influence, you also lose the support and the aid. Now, I wanted out of my parents' control, and I wanted to be away from their influence, but I never thought about losing their support and aid. Because, you know, at 13, 15 years old, when I'm wanting to be independent, I didn't think about, well, how am I going to eat? You know, where are my clothes going to come from? So what does it have to do with God, with being a Christian or the church? Well, actually, it has quite a bit. I was cruising the internet looking up independence. I found the Independence Baptist Association. Now, to me, that kind of seems like an oxymoron. If you're independent, why are you in an association? But there are independent Baptist churches and independent missionary Baptist churches, and I don't mean to be picking on the Baptists, but, you know, you need to make up your mind. Are you going to be independent? Are you going to be part of an association? You know, what do you want to do? And having been a United Methodist pastor for 25 plus years, the churches in the United Methodist Church are joined together, tied together by the Book of Discipline. You know, I wish I had an echo chamber to make that sound the way it really needs to. Because what that is a set of rules made up over the years, about 400 pages of rules, that are strictly enforced and sometimes very loosely enforced. They're kind of I guess, independently enforced. That was one of my reasons for in pertaining to pastors, that if one person violated this, had their credentials removed and all, and then somebody else would violate the, don't do that again. And so, like I said, they were independently the church is not this: Presbyterian, Methodist, Catholic, Southern Baptist, Episcopalian, you know, whatever other label that there is out there. And I think what God had in mind was this: church, period. To another, knowing that we were accepted and that we were loved. Mexican and Haitian and whatever else. Now, but there's also a worship thing too, because I think the church should be some place where we get together, we contemporary songs, some traditional hymns, some gospel, we pray, and we listen to a message from whoever the pastor is. Able to go from church to church to church and do that, and know that, you know, church on the other side of town, I'm loved. If I go to the church on the other side of the country, I'm loved. And when I get there, there's blacks, there's whites, there's Hispanics, there's Koreans, there's had more of God and less of people, that would be church. Versus dependence. Now, dependence is both positive one father. When one is lacking, and it's more often the father, because even when you teenager, it is something that's still necessary. Plan. If he didn't think it was necessary, he didn't excuse me. You know, we would be born, you know, after a year, we'd probably be what now what's now 14 or 15. After 3 years, we'd be an adult. God wanted us to have that dependency on parents. It's good. Well, we can look at how countries have become over the history of the world. Whatever of the UK, and many have become independent. You know, they did from day one, they had no problems. I mean, they had problems, but, you know, they keep on going in the right direction. But then there's some years they struggle and they just can't times where the government maybe isn't doing what the people want, and so somebody before they were ready to become independent. Become independent too soon because they're not equipped. You know, that's when prostitution, you know, they just either with someone else or by themselves, and they just end up in a lifestyle that also hear of adult children that are capable and they don't move out. I don't know, he was in his 30s, I think, anyways, and was living in his parents' basement, and they went to court to get him independence needs to come at the right time. So how does well, we are to be dependent on God. End of case. Sometimes people go to a certain church because of the pastor. The United Methodist Church, because of their process of bringing in new pastors. Sometime, so the process starts to bring in a new pastor. So in January, I announced as well, now I need to find a new church. And she continued to come as long as we and I know after I left, others left. You can enjoy the message, the ways of a certain pastor, but some people go to a certain denomination. What? There's not one around, you won't go to church, or you'll drive miles and that's why you go there, just because you are a Presbyterian or you're a Methodist. Some people go to a non-denominational church. Just got tired of the process, got tired of the rules. Some people go to the church that they go to because it's convenient. Okay? You go to church and, you know, you think that's really stupid. You know, you're driving past church, it's down here on the corner, you know, because it's convenient. Our motivators, you know, the pastor, the denomination, the convenience. To decide where you're going to go to church. Now, not going to be a United Methodist Church. Okay, but we've gone to a couple and there's many, many other churches for us to check out. And wants us to be. We knew where we were supposed to be going. Our kids have been living in Kentucky for a couple different times when we were visiting and knew that's where we wanted to. We had listened to some messages from this one church, and we went back the second Sunday, and we knew that's where the Lord wanted us to be. So when we start putting denominations or pastors or convenience before God, socialization, and you know, there's nothing wrong with those things, but a family of believers, not just a group of good friends. They'll know we are Christians, and the words tell the story of how should put on being part of the body of Christ. Unity may one day be restored. And the chorus says, the second verse is, we will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. And we will work with each other, we will work side by side, and we'll save each other. It is all praise to the Father, from whom all things come. That makes us one. People will know we are Christians. Reflect Jesus Christ. Okay? And Jesus Christ reflect by our t-shirt or a bumper sticker that says, I love my church. And if we are not dependent on God, you know, we have to have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if we're not, well, what does the world say? Excuse me, what does Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 from the NIV? In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Now, in the message, don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Okay, that's dependence. Okay, trusting God. Jesus says, lean not on your own understanding. Okay, some people try to wrong, reaching for the top. And when they get to the top, they find out that their ladder are honest. We all have our ladder, our lives. Not being leaning against the only solid place there is, and that's the Lord. You know, some people, you know, they lean on their husband, their wife, and you know, you've got nothing to lean on. Children, they grow and they be sometimes friends betray us, but God is always with us. Ask yourself, who moved, because it's not him. Five. He says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken and do the things you did at first. I think we all fall at farther than other times. Sometimes I fall harder than other times. Where I was than other times. But we know that God's waiting turn at being the prodigal son, wanting our independence. And ready to accept us. You know, when the prodigal son got back, the looking for you, you know, where have you been? You know, how much of my money do you have left? You know, where were you? You know, what were you doing? And he is going to be ticked. That's not what happened. No. There's great rejoicing when you return to the Lord. And, you know, that need is no accident. I've heard someone say, maybe you have said yourself, that when God made us whole, we may try to fill it with other things like money or and nothing fills that hole perfectly except God. You know, it's kind of like having a and, you know, you have this piece that, you know, it's got the right colors on it. Almost looks like it fits, but it doesn't really fit. It's not quite right. Because nothing else is going to fit in there but God. You can put that wrong piece in there. That piece goes over here. This is the piece that fits in there perfectly. For the dependence that we need on Him, even before Adam and Eve were created. Looked at creation on that day and didn't say it was good. He said it was very is good. Not total independence. You know, we're not talk about the family of believers. And maybe those of us who enjoy where it's not accepted to be a Christian, where it's even against the law, where you may okay, just like in the early church, they need to be dependent on each other. The book Jesus Freaks, which has these short some of the stories are from the early church. Some are from the 1600s in Europe. The things that people endure because of their Christian faith. You know, so, you know, in the United States, it's just kind of not cool. I can tell you, when you die, it will be very cool compared to the need to lean on one another, to be there for each other, to pray for each other. But you know, even though we're going to celebrate independence, our dependence lies only on God, no place else. Today'd be a good day to do that. You know, maybe a day that you become independent from some things in your life and become dependent on God. You know, to realize that God sent his son Jesus Christ to earth for a specific purpose, and that was to die for your sins and my sins, because that's what took him to the cross, was the sin of people, not any sin of his own, because he had no sin. So it had to be the sin of others. And so he died on that cross for your sins. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And he was seen by the followers. He was seen by his disciples. And then he ascended into heaven. And before he did, he said, I'm coming back. He said, I don't know when. Okay, only God knows when I'm coming back. But you need to be ready for when I come back. Because there's not going to be a second chance. It's not going to be like, oh yeah, I remember, I heard that, you know, I believe. No, it's going to be too late. The belief needs to be in place before Jesus returns. You need to admit that you've been a sinner, and we all have sin in our lives. You know, and we can't look at somebody and say, well, his sin's bigger than mine, or her sin is, you know, there's more than mine. Sin is sin in the eyes of God. And so you need to admit that you've been a sinner and ask for forgiveness, and ask for Jesus Christ to accept you, and ask for the Holy Spirit to be the guide that you need in your life. Like it says in John 14, that he's going to remind us. Okay, and we all need reminders of what we've heard and what we've read and what we believe. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. So you need to make that choice today. Would be a good time. A good time for you to become independent of from the world, independent on God. In Jesus' name, amen.